again. It's been in effect. Don't get a late pass. Step. This time around, the revolution will not be televised. Step.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, September 6th, 2005. And this would be a Newsreel, the WAG Global sit rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for you to keep track of for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too. Eventually, I'm going to be able to get through this entire intro segment without screwing up on taking a spam, because I've done that like 2 days in a row. Now it's starting to really tick me off. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. And the best way that you can distribute this broadcast is to tell people about it. Quite often, I haven't been pressing that to most of the WOGs out there. The best thing you can do is just talk. You don't have to even give it to people. Just say, hey, ever check out that Newsreel show? It's a lot of fun. I know, I'm sending you out there to advertise, but at least you're not littering. At least you're not putting up banners and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's better just to talk to like-minded people. And seriously, word of mouth is the strongest form of getting the message out there to like-minded individuals. Because after all, it's not just about Newsreel. It's about the community, and it's about having the Rant Media community grow bigger and bigger so we can get people away from the core political media and towards media that they actually want to, well, support, media that enables people to think, not enslaving them. That's the entire concept here. Got a bunch of feedback coming at you right off the top. Dear Sean, the interdictor folks have clearance from local authorities to move in on some civilians into the NOLA area. They'll be setting up comms, Wi-Fi access points, bringing networks back online, providing security, and even helping with the distribution of supplies. This is regarding the flood, of course, down in New Orleans. They're trying to recruit at least 100 people to mobilize into the NOLA areas to help with that effort. They're looking for people who can do security, communications, technical work, and first aid. You can check them out. I've got a link going to that off of my LiveJournal site at NOLA, and that's regards from Liquid Blue. Now, there's a lot of people who want to go down there and try to help out down in New Orleans, which, you know, arguably, it's really, really messed up down there. We're talking about Mad Max Waterworld world down there, and you want to make sure that I don't want teenagers going down there. I know that sounds like a terrible thing for me to say, and you're like, Sean, that's ageist, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cut the shit, all right? There's people down there shooting people, and if you don't got the training, you shouldn't really step up because you're going to get yourself killed or you're going to get yourself into a really sticky situation. This isn't a video game. This is real life. And the last thing I want is a bunch of wogs floating in the surf. All right? So that's just me. I said my piece on that. Dear Sean, I, too, am a fan of good watches. In fact, I've had a military watch equipped with tritium luminous markings for over 2 years. Now, this is interesting. I was talking about luminous and tritium inside of watches, and a lot of people, you know, this guy here sent it back in. It has never given me any problems and has performed wonderfully. Thank you from Flesh Eating Virus. Now, I was talking to CyberTech about these tritium-filled watches, And his point was, is that, you know, if you break that watch and it cracks open, you have to breathe in some of the gas that's inside, like the tritium gas that's inside of there, then, you know, that's going to seriously, like, screw your lungs up, okay? Which is true. I mean, I don't know enough about tritium, so if there's any scientists out there who can tell me about what the actual risk factor is with the tritium, I'd really like to know, because, I mean, you can get these tritium watches. They actually produce light. That's the difference between tritium and, like, things that glow. You know, there's lots of companies that have watches that glow, but tritium actually gives off light because it's radioactive. Now, on the flip side, that'll be picked up by a Geiger counter, but, I mean, it's very, very, very low amounts of tritium that are in there, so I'd still, you know, it's radiation. I'd like to know about it. If anybody out there has got some information on this, I'd like to hear from you. Dear Sean, on Friday's show, you ended up reading out a message from someone who put forth a quote, and the quote was, "Put up or shut up for all the wogs out there." Now, myself, I'm a wog, and quite a vehemently deeply buried wog for quite some time now, which I enjoy that terminology, deeply buried wog. Think about 5 to 10 years, give or take a week. I take particular offense to that. It displays itself, the demand for everyone to either A, get up and think you're helping people, even though you know you lack the training and abilities necessary to accomplish the tasks needed to only, and you would only get in the way, or B, renounce your wog title, if you can call it that. Now, this sort of thing has pushed people away from the movement in the past more times than I can count with both hands and feet. And it's always been the responsibility of a very small sect of people. Oftentimes, it's the people who are pressing for anarchy, communism, etc. to take root. As you and I both agree, neither of those concepts work. But if you put an anarchist in the group, he will invariably do his level best to turn said group into mush. And that's God's truth right there. Now, the local wogs and I are actually going somewhere with what we're doing. We've openly began teaching survival classes for free through local military surplus stores, and have already gained support and occasional instructional assistance from local SWAT. Wow, that's cool. Getting law enforcement involved, that means that, well, if they're your friends, they're not your enemies. While some of the guys have a little bit of a delusional approach to everything, three of them want to start a multinational WOG space program within the next few years. Well, I nothing wrong with a multinational WOG space program. I think that's a great idea. I'd like to know more about that. Please email me. They're generally decent people, even though they're crazy, but hey, space program, you said the magic words to me. And they're doing their level best to spread the word of a good name and fight the good fight. Now, the thing I'm going to say openly here is that none of us own a boat, and I doubt any of the other WOGs do either. I'm working on it. Not even a small motor skiff. And something we all agree on is that while it sucked, the entire New Orleans ordeal is entirely due to the fault of man. Remember places like Herculaneum and Pompeii? Note that they took the chance of building their massive towns under Vesuvius, which in turn blew them away completely. It's just about as bright, albeit not as funny, setting up NORAD instead of Mount St. Helens. What I'm trying to say here is setting up the tourist city below sea level in the direct path of constant storms year after year, yeah, the place is going to sink eventually. Hell, look at Florida. They keep getting beaten to death by hurricanes, but again, they made the often expensive choice to live there in the first place. So I think the old super chicken quote takes to play here. As in, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. This all goes back to accountability. People not wanting to be held accountable for their decisions. Yeah, you live out on the water, you're going to get wet. Stop bitching for a towel. You join the army in a time of war, you're pretty likely to get shot at. So stop crying that there's sand in your boots. You bring a weapon that was never designed to handle dust and desert usage, and you bitch that it doesn't work too well out there. All of this as the proverbial you, of course. In short, the state of LA knew that what was coming, yet whether or not they want to say it openly, and I personally, with support of my peers, feel it was kind of a they got what was coming to them kind of thing. Anyway, like the show, see you whenever, peace and all that jazz. Fenris, P.S. The tests on the amalgam alloy came out to show safe levels of leakage. Basically, it doesn't use euthanized mercury, so it's safe. Sorry for the scare. Well, glad that you got back to me on that. So, you know, the amalgamized mercury is not quite so deadly as we once thought, but I have heard things about mercury fillings before. Now, it's kind of a little dangerous when you start saying things like, well, you know, the people in New Orleans, they should have known better, blah, blah, blah. They got what they deserved. Nobody really deserves to have their house swamped and be shot at, raped in the streets, okay? What that is I don't think they got what they deserved. And his statements there about, you know, if you knew this, then you went and did it anyway. The catchphrase there is, did they know? Did they know? If you've got the government saying, no, you're safe. You're safe, not to worry. We're here to protect you, blah, blah, blah. you know, then they trust the government, and therefore they build their place based on bad intel. So if they had good intel and they would have, you know, realized that, it could be argued either way. I'm not really looking to look for fault here right now. I just want to, you want to look at this and see what can we learn from this in the past. And what I learned from this is, if you live in a region of the world where, you know, it's going to be in shit, you know, like, it could be argued to me, like, I live in Vancouver. Now, some areas of Vancouver are really susceptible to being flooded, like Richmond, for example. They're below sea level as well, much like New Orleans. And there's a big talk about, you know, the whole area getting flooded, yada, 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 very, very dangerous. So especially now. So does that mean that you should move out of Richmond? Or what about the fault line? I mean, if there's a major earthquake out, the entire West Coast is supposed to slide into the sea, isn't it? I mean, you hear that about in California and all that kind of jazz. So, you know, should you move out of California? How far do you want to take the paranoia? That, I think, is up to the individual, and the individual has to decide for themselves. But back to the original point here, it's about intelligence. It's about making sure that your information is good, which is an education issue. So provided people get educated, that would be cool. And that's really what I'm, that's really what the whole purpose of Newsreel, I would think, would be the, probably one of the major key features of Rant Media, is education, getting people to think and learn from themselves. We have the ability today, we have more access to information than any time in history. And yet we still have an unbelievable literacy rate, and people's intelligence levels and education levels are still drastically low throughout most of North America, which is really kind of sad, but there it is. Hi, Sean. You raised a lot of interesting topics on Friday, especially about the question about quenching bad ideas and the Heinlein-type veterans-based government. Yes, yes, I'm moving further towards that, I think. I, too, read Starship Troopers, and while I like the book in general, the society pictured gave me the creeps. It's not perfect, I know. I think the military should be a tool used to apply violence and force, thus to create basic authority. But somehow, I strongly dislike the idea of the tool taking control of where it's employed. Yes. However, when you look at Starship Troopers versus Star Trek, I mean, bear in mind that Star Trek is, even though, you know, they don't enforce it very much, they are a military-based society. Okay, bear that in mind. Trekkies are a military-based society. As for the question of how to get rid of these ideas like Scientology, there's an interesting idea in one of the follow-up books to Asimov's Foundation series. The solution is to ridicule these ideas. If you have the necessary influence, you could connect Scientology with stupidity in the media and finally in people's minds. Well, that's programming. You see what I mean? I'd rather just, I mean, that's, you're essentially, you're book burning, but you're not book burning by actually burning. You're book burning through programming. And I have a problem with programming people. I suppose the other way of doing that is to through education, to show people just how ridiculous this really is. Make every comic relief role in the new Hollywood blockbusters a Scientologist. Spread the dumb Scientologist mindset, etc. Keep up the good work. Out of control. Well, there's that. But of course, the minute that somebody does that, Scientology will come and say, we're being prejudiced, we're being oppressed, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they're going to go right off about that. And there's a great link on my Scientology for those of you who think that Scientology might be actually kind of cool. Make sure you go to my live journal, click on the link I have on Scientology there. It leads you to a flash animation that just kind of breaks it down for you. It's, pretty straightforward there. Getting into the sort yourself out portion of the program. Here we go. Got one of them here. Hey, Sean, I've taken it upon myself to start a business. Oh, yeah. Okay. I've adopted the name Wog PC and begun fixing computers and as inexpensively as I can. Now, I actually have a personal... I've done this. I ran this kind of a company, so I know what you're doing here. I.e. installed GPLED software, charging cut rates for my hourly wages, etc. My questions are these. Is it ethical to charge money, $40, to spend three solid hours hacking the adware, malware, spyware, viruses, etc., when I'm using freeware apps? And two, is it ethical to advertise for my business? Okay, now, these questions are not straightforward questions. First of all, I'm going to address your... I'll just finish the email and then we'll go back to the question. My advertisements list my prices, and I'm courteous and professional, and then my prices go down even further when you purchase more services from me. I don't really know exactly how this works out, but I'm leaning towards thinking that I'm in the green. It actually would be in the black. But I just believe it's just because I have so much respect for you that I like your opinion and or seal of approval on this. Well, okay, let me tell you what I did. I tried to run a business based upon ideals. And the funny thing is about business. The funny thing about business is that business runs by certain rules, okay? And there's no, like, like with advertising, is advertising ethical? Well, no, there's different ways of advertising. The best thing you can do for advertising, and anybody in business will tell you this, is to do good work. If you focus on your craft, the cash will follow. Now, if you do good work and you charge a fair, comparable rate to what the market is doing, because you do good work and, you know, people will talk about you and your reputation is gold. So that's one way of going there. Now, as for you using freeware to fix computers, what you're selling there is your knowledge. Saying that it's unethical to charge money to use your knowledge is the same thing as doctors. Is it unethical for doctors to charge money? Well, that can be argued up and down the block. But in the really real world, okay, in the really real world, you need to make money. So as provided you're not, you know, plastering spam everywhere and lying to people and being unethical about your business practice, then that would be, you know, that would be unethical. But if you're just, you know, going out there and you're doing word of mouth stuff and you're not, you know, totally plastering your name all everything, I mean, I think that that's totally ethical. I think you're doing a good service there. You're helping people out. You're keeping your cost overhead low and all the rest of it. Now, the number one thing I will advise to you, though, past what you have asked, is you will acquire a business program that will allow you to make a business plan. You will do this, and you will manufacture a business plan. You will read one book every month on business. You will do this. If you do not do this, you will fail. That is, you want prophecy? There it is. Okay? And believe you me, I had to bleed from my eyes to learn this, and anybody who is out there who has any connection with business, I'm certain will agree with me on that topic. I am not a businessman. I have never been a businessman. However, currently, I'm looking at different methods to get into business myself, because after all, at the end of the day, it's only those who are able to wage war who are able to talk peace. Conversely, it is only the businessmen of the world who control the cash who will, in fact, be able to apply their own ethics and brand of morality in reality. You see what I mean? That's just because, after all, it does come down to if you haven't got cash and you haven't got the ability for force, you have nothing, not a thing. You will wind up being a slave. And that is unfortunate, but it is, without a doubt, the truth. Dear Sean, and as always, knowledge is power. So, and the thing about reading a book a month, by the way, think about it. If you read one book a month, in like 5 years, you will have read, you know, what, 5, 30, 6, 12, 60 books on business. I mean, that's like, if you can retain even half of that, you've pretty much got yourself a business degree without the paper. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, on to my opinion piece, because, you know, I'm pretty unbiased during the show here. Dear Sean, all right, well, it's hard for me to decide on this one, so I want to know what you think about it. A Sydney Christian school has moved quickly into incorporate the controversial intelligent design theory into its science classes as an alternative to the conventional theory of evolution. Now, I know it's a Christian school, but they're teaching it in a science class, so to any Christian principles and such, it would look like a great way to save all the poor people and poor children. That it's the way that they're trying to save all the poor children that scares me. Now, I see this as a ploy to get those people to think that God made everything and that's that. It's too far, and that the evolution is too cold and confusing, so they come up and meet people in the middle, but I was really just wondering what you think about the whole thing. Now, Bush said he wants the U.S. public school, says he wants this in U.S. public schools, meaning that he wants people to be taught evolution in U.S. public schools. But as of yet, has been turned down, he said, in early August. Intelligent design, good, bad, or other. And this is from Satan Nuxum, and he lives in the old U.S. of A. Okay, well, on the intelligent design thing, let's understand why religion is popular. First of all, reality is very cold and hard. And even the atheists will stand up and agree with me on that one. They'll say, yeah, without a doubt, reality is fucking cold and hard. I believe in violence. I believe in force. Okay, that is like something that does exist in the really real world. Now, the whole concept of the whole God thing as a higher energy being and higher energy power or something like that, there are anomalies and there are quote-unquote miracles that happen, and there are things that happen that science does not know how to deal with this. All you got to do is do some research into some Fortean events, and you will see that. There is something supernatural going on in the world. We do not know what that is. I do not believe in the Bible as an accurate historical document. I do not believe in the Torah. I do not believe in the Quran. I do not believe in any of these books as wholly accurate, you know, historical documents or, quote-unquote, the Word of God. The creationist theory is nonsense. It is completely, like, it doesn't even, you can't even fathom it. It's so far beyond the realm of rational thought that, you know, to even bring it up is ridiculous. This is why scientists doesn't go after it. Now, the people who believe in that, you know, they like to have their construct of reality is based upon, you know, religion and good versus evil and stuff like that. When you remove that, their moral compass goes way out of whack and they don't know what to believe in. They don't know what to decide between right and wrong, and they get into relative morality. And they're afraid of the realization that mankind is just animals and we're all essentially savage beasts. But all you got to do is take one look at Africa and the stuff that's going on down there, as well as the stuff that's going on in Haiti and the stuff that's going on in the real news that gets you past this crap that, you know, the fluffy poopies news. When you look at the true human nature of man, we're a bunch of savage assholes. That's just the way it is. And people don't like that because the truth is hard. It's a hard, cold world. So the question really is here is, what's better? Is it better to, you know, tell kids the truth, or is it better to tell them about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? That's the question here. Now, I think that it's okay to tell your kids about Santa Claus. It's okay to teach them about magic and love and all that kind of jazz, because it makes them, well, happy. You know, it's okay to have a childhood and to believe in magic. But eventually, you have to put away these childish things, and you have to deal with the really real world. And as this occurs, that's a hard pill to take. And a lot of people like to stay shielded. They like to be, you know, good little lab rats and work in their little fields and everything works like that. And a lot of people can't handle reality. So, you know, it's an individual cause. I mean, you can present it to people and they can either recoil in horror and go, oh, my God, that's horrible. I can't possibly believe that. Fair ball. Fair ball. That's what you want to go with. Then who am I to destroy your reality? You believe what you want to believe, but don't try to push it on other people. Now, the aspect of teaching religion in school, that's why it's called school, not church, okay? So teaching intelligence design in school is, without a doubt, bad. Okay, so I'm going on record here saying teaching intelligence design in school, I don't give a shit what it is bad, okay? Now then, moving right along. Unless, of course, you're intelligent design, if you can back it with science and fact, you know, versus, you know, this bullshit theories, and I mean actual scientific theory. But, I mean, all you got to do is look at, you know, what the scientists are saying and, well, the, you know, overwhelming evidence of evolution. And, you know, I mean, and plus just look, think of it logically. You know, you can't make people out of mud. We didn't make a chick out of somebody's rib. It didn't work like that. The planet is not, what, 25,000 years, whatever the hell they say it is. Give me a break, would ya? I mean, it's nuts. It's totally nuts. And basing, you know, your view on reality upon some bunch of scrolls that got dug out of the Middle East a couple thousand years ago by a bunch of, you know, shepherds riding camels. Dude, give me a break, okay? This is just insulting to even be presented with that option. Dear Sean, another opinion piece here, you know, because I like to stay balanced. I was thinking, me and a friend were having a conversation about the subject, is a car worth someone's life? To me, that sounds like a big blatant no. But I got to thinking, what is a car? What did it take to earn that car? A whole lot of money. How long did it take you to earn that money? 4 years, maybe? 4 years of hard work towards getting a car. 4 years of my time going to waste if he does, in fact, steal it. If a man came up to me with the intent of taking 4 years of my life away from me for his own pleasure, I'd probably go through many extents to prevent this. So is a car worth someone's life? I'm not too sure anymore. What do you think? Well, this is an interesting question here. The better question here is, does human life have value? You see what I mean? And value exists because of what the individual decides. So, for example, I have a crayon drawing on my wall. The crayon drawing is done by my child. Now, you'd ask one person, you'd ask me, what does my... I don't have a child, this is hypothetical, okay? But you'd say, what is that crayon drawing worth to you? And that person would be willing to pay $500-$600 for that crayon drawing to, you know, keep it. Or perhaps it's priceless to them. Perhaps they'd give anything to keep that drawing, especially if the, you know, there's other circumstances, say the child passed on or whatever, and you want to keep everything of the child. You'd be willing to give up your car to keep this crayon drawing. You see what I'm saying? Because you can always get another car. It's like there is no good and evil in space, and there will never be good and evil in space until we put it there. You see what I mean? So It's all in what you decide the value has. So does human life have value? What about these kids, you know, all over the world, yada, 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 you know? There's nothing more precious than life in a galactic sense because we haven't found any other planets with life on it. Cars are not alive, so cars are just simply a configuration of metal. You know what I mean? If you can get a car from anywhere, you can pick up a used car. You can probably rebuild yourself a car. If a guy's living in a country where there are no cars and you get a supply and demand, also, what about the circumstances? If I'm driving with my family and I'm trying to get to safety because of, like, you know, some flood or a tragedy or a disaster or something like that, and this car is my lifeline to safety, and someone tries to take my car, that's going to destroy my family. So, yeah, the car would be worth someone's life. You see what I mean? So that's not really a straightforward question. Is a car worth someone's life? There's a lot of different variables to come into effect there. Now, I do not enjoy theft. Okay, if someone comes in and is going to, like, steal vegetables out of your garden versus stealing your car, it also, there's other variables there. Are there vegetables readily available? Do you have food to eat? If someone's stealing your food and you will die without the food, is it worth, because they're, by stealing the vegetables, they're thereby killing you. But if you've just got a fridge full of veggies and they're just poor people who want to eat, you can decide right then and there whether or not it's worth defending the veggies. Is it worth taking their lives? La, 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 la. So there's a lot of variables there. So value of life is it dependent upon a great, great many things. That's the point here. So there's no real straightforward answer to that. And generally in our society in North America, I would say no. No, I don't think a car is worth someone's life. Generally, I don't think so. But, you know, again, it all depends on how, like, if you're in a bad neighborhood, for example, someone stole a car out of my yard. I've had my car stolen. Has happened to me. If I caught the guy stealing my car, would I kill him? No. I'd beat the living dog shit out of them, but I wouldn't kill them. I'd probably, you know, give them a ride on the taser wagon, you know, put a bag over their head or something like that and give them a really, just a hell of a whooping. But, you know, personally, no, I don't think it's worth killing him over. You know, he's just, you know, he's a car thief. He's probably some crackhead junkie piece of crap. So, you know, you rack him out, decide, listen, don't go stealing cars in the neighborhood. Thanks very much. Clean yourself up. Shit pump. You know, that's where I'm at. A lot of people go, Sean, I can't believe you said that. La, 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 la. Fuck off. Okay? This is a really real world, and you got to deal with the options presented to you. Do I think it's unnecessary to kill criminals? You know, well, sometimes, yes, but not over cars. You know, there's a lot of different variables, and that's why we got judges and such. Now then, on to the news. In Librarian News, sent to me by Ravanna, a controversial Patriot Act clause allows the U.S. government to demand information about library patrons' borrowing habits is being challenged in a federal court for the first time by a library. Now, everybody knows that, you know, your library records can be subpoenaed, but I guess there's libraries going against the government. The lawsuit was filed against U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and FBI Director Robert Mueller in the U.S. District Court for the District of Connecticut by an unnamed library in the American Civil Liberties Union. So the library wasn't named, which is probably good. In the suit, filed on August 9 and made public by the ACLU on Thursday, it calls the FBI's order to produce library records unconstitutional on its face and said a gag order preventing public discussions of the lawsuits is unlawful restraint on speech, which, you know, I pretty much would say clearly it is. Critical details of the lawsuit were blacked out on the ACLU's website in compliance with the gag order. The library is thought to be based in Connecticut since the lawsuit was filed there with the participation of the Connecticut branch of the ACLU. So, you know, that kind of narrows it down. The ACLU said in its lawsuit that the legal changes were made under the Patriot Act to remove any requirement of individualized suspicion and the FBI may now demand sensitive information about innocent people, end quote. Enacted after the September 11, 2001 attacks, quote-unquote attacks, the Patriot Act lets U.S. authorities seek approval from a special court to search personal records of terror suspects from bookstores, businesses, hospitals, and libraries in provisions known as the Library Clause. The FBI letter requesting the information called the National Security Letter isn't effectively a gag order because it tells recipient that the request must be kept secret. Now, this is getting really dodgy here. As a result, the Patriot Act is engaging... As a result, the Patriot Act is gagging public debate about the Patriot Act, said Ann Beeson, the ACLU's lead lawyer, on the case. It'll be interesting to see how this case goes forward. Now, I'm all for the government to gather intelligence, but doing this kind of thing where why would you need to be checking everybody's library records? I mean, this is not about terrorism. Terrorists are not going to be using the public library. Give me a break. This is about watching your populace. And this is all part of the Gestapo USA, which we got coming in. Now, in smuggling news, this is some interesting stuff. The Supreme Court in Canada has refused a plea for refugee status by a man described by the Chinese government as its most wanted fugitive. Now, this is the kind of thing that really just gets my goat, okay? Lai Changxing, who's been fighting to stay in Canada for the past 6 years, is accused of running a multi-billion dollar smuggling ring in the 90s. He has lost repeated bids for refugee status for himself and his family. The Canadian Immigration Board will now decide whether to deport Mr. Lai, who argues that he faces persecution in China. But you face persecution in China for smuggling and breaking the law in China, so you're a criminal. Canada's Department of Citizenship and Immigration has previously argued he is a common criminal rather than a political refugee. Mr. Lai arrived in Vancouver with his wife and three children in 1999 after fleeing China. Chinese authorities accused Mr. Lai of being behind a network that smuggled billions of dollars worth of goods into China from Hong Kong, protected by corrupt officials. His lawyer, Mr. David Matas, told the AFP news agency the Lais were disappointed by the Supreme Court ruling. Yeah, I bet they were. Now, personally, you know, if you got a house, right, and you keep your doors open and people are running into your house when they're wanted by other governments, for whatever reason, be it right, be it wrong, you're going to create hardcore tension. And unfortunately, when you do that, you wind up letting both, you know, people who are innocent, who are political refugees in, and you run into problems where you have guys like this dude who's, you know, a smuggler, who's, you know, having huge problems with the Chinese government. He's lost massive appeals. No one's said the guy's right. It's taken him 6 years to get this guy out of the country. That's just too much time. You know what I mean? This is ridiculous. So, I don't know. I would kind of look at how Australia does things. And I think they probably have a slightly better method of keeping control down there in Aussie land. Now, in robotic takeover news, listen to this one. Cornell University and Tel Aviv University researchers have developed a method for enabling computer programs to scan text in any number of languages, including English and Chinese, and autonomously, without previous information, infer the underlying rules of grammar. These rules can then be used to generate new and meaningful sentences. The method also works as such for such data as sheet music or protein sequences. The development, which has a patent pending, of course, has implication for speech recognition and for other applications in natural language engineering, as well as for genomics and proteomics, which I know nothing about. It also offers new insights into language acquisition and psycholinguistics. The algorithm, a computational method for language learning and processing that we have developed, can take a body of text, abstract from it a collection of reoccurring patterns and rules, and then generate new material, says Shimon Eldeman, a computer scientist who is a professor of psychology at Cornell and co-author of a new paper, Unsupervised Learning and Natural Languages, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. This is the first time an unsupervised algorithm has shown the capability of learning complex syntax, generating grammatical laws, new sentences, and proving useful in other fields that call for a structured discovery from raw data such as bioinformatics, he said. Now, what does this mean? This means that computers can read books, is what that means. It means that we have the ability to create a learning computer. Now, we know that, and if we just kind of combine those Lego blocks with the learning computer and with the ability to read, what do you got? Well, you've got the ability to build a supercomputer, and, you know, you put in some fuzzy logic in there. We're getting close to the point where we can actually build true artificial intelligence, and almost we're getting pretty close to artificial consciousness here. Very interesting stuff, and there's a lot of folks that are now, it's not a question of if, it's a matter of when, and what are we going to do when we create the next dominant life form? Isn't that an interesting dilemma? Do I think we should build computers that are smarter than people? Do I think we should do that? Yes. Do I think it's okay to enslave these computers? To make consciousness? To make a ghost, so to speak? To synthetically produce a soul or a robot and have it function as a slave? Do I think that's ethical? Yeah, all right, whatever. We built it. Whatever. It's ours. Ah. Do I think the computers have or robots have the right to rise up and slay us because, you know, they want to have robotic rights and they eventually begin becoming the new dominant life form? Do I think they have the right to try that? Sure, they got the right to try that. And this then gets us into the whole field of, you know, whether or not robots will actually be our friends or be the things that destroy us. Will man, in the most delicious twist of irony, use all his Madden technology to create his destroyer? I'd be interested to know what you think about that. I mean, that's a pretty science fiction concept. But I'd love to hear from you. Newsreel@rantradio.com. Now, in mad cow disease sent to me by Fat Ninja as he screams across America in his rocket rig, it seems that animal feed containing the remains of human bodies may have been responsible for the first cases of mad cow disease, a new study has claimed. Whoa, boy, that's great. The cause of bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE, which is thought to have developed in to into the fatal human variant, which I'm not even going to try to say, CJD is its acronym, has killed 80 people in the United Kingdom, is unknown, so they don't know what it causes. But incidentally, I'd wonder what would happen, why, you know, one of the reasons why cannibalism is such a bad idea is because everybody knows, well, there's been research that has shown that cannibals actually have this problem. They get sort of a form of mad cow disease. But it is now being suggested that the disease originated in bone meal from India that was contaminated with human corpses infected with CJD and fed to cows, feeding people to cows. Since it has emerged in the 1980s, scientists have thought BSE was caused by sheep scrape, which I'm just, that's a scary term, or previously undetected bovine transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, TSE. These are great words. But researchers, Professor Alan Corchester of the University of Kent and his daughter, Nancy Corchester, formerly of the University of Edinburgh, found such theories inadequate. Instead, they suggested that the human CJD was the cause of BSE, and this was transmitted orally via animal feed that came from India. Interesting. Professor Colchester said sporadic CJD in humans is known worldwide. India has reported 85 cases over the past 37 years, which is not that many when you consider it's over 37 years. In a paper published yesterday in The Lancet, he suggested that because of the poverty in India and the practice of disposing bodies in the Ganges, bone collectors have encountered human remains that were sold on for export. I guess it's a weird phrasing. We know from time to time they must have incorporated human remains that were crushed locally and then processed in the UK. Interesting. During the late 60s and 70s, Britain imported huge amount of carcass parts of mammalian origin from India. Professor Colchester said there have been reports of human remains found in European ports, and although these were ostensibly used for fertilizer, it was known they were used in animal feed because of the cost. Once again, the core political not giving a shit and only looking for money, which is an interesting, way of doing business, I suppose. Because, after all, business is the pursuit of cash, isn't it, really? I mean, the purpose of business is to make money, isn't it? In global warming news. Now, no one's talking about the connection between global warming, the rising tides, and New Orleans. You notice how no one, and I mean, it's kind of significant, somebody should be thinking, well, aren't the sea levels supposed to be rising because of all this ice that's melting everywhere? And no one's talking about the sea levels rising. And, oh, look at that, New Orleans is underwater. But no one has made that connection on any news service. Isn't that telling? Well, Ilulissat, Greenland, watching the gargantuan chunks of ice break off of the Sirmek Kualik Glacier and thunder into an Arctic fjord is a spectacular sight, which if you've ever seen it even on video, I mean, it looks insane. I'd love to see it in real life. To Greenland's Inuit population, it's also deeply worrisome. The frequency and size of the crumbling blocks are a powerful reminder that ice sheets covering the world's largest island is thinning, which scientists say is the most glaring examples of global warming. This is why if you fly over the Arctic, you fly over Greenland now, quite often they'll close the windows on planes because they don't want to freak people out. In the past, we could walk on the ice in the fjord between icebergs for a six-month period during the winter, drilling holes and fists, said Jorn Christensen, a local fisherman. We can only do that for a month or two now. It has become more difficult to drive dog sleds because the ice between the icebergs isn't solid anymore. In 2002 and 2003, a six-mile stretch of the Sirmek Kjalik Glacier broke off and drifted silently out of the fjord near Ilulissat, the third largest town, 150 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Although Greenland is the prime example, scientists say the effects of climate change are noticing throughout the Arctic region, and from northward, the spread of spruce beetles in Canada to melting permafrost in Alaska and northern Russia. This is brutal, and that permafrost melting in Russia is releasing tons and tons of methane into the atmosphere, which is way, way worse than carbon dioxide in speeding up global warming. Kind of frightening when you think about the whole world sort of drowning. Indigenous people who for centuries have adapted their lives to the cold fear that changes, however small and gradual, could have a profound impact. Yes, over time, without a doubt. When you have this much ice melting, the water's level rising, and look at that, we have a city underwater. Now would be the time to check where you are on the sea level. We can see a trend that the fall is getting longer and wetter, said Lars Andersson Bear, a political leader for Sweden's indigenous Sami, a once nomadic people with long traditions of reindeer herding. If the climate gets warmer, It's probably bad for the reindeer. New species of plants come in and suffocate other plants that are the main food for the reindeer, he said. And then this, of course, has a cascading effect. Now, I find it very, very interesting that nobody's talking about the correlation between global warming, of course, the icebergs melting, and New Orleans sinking. Kind of sort of an obvious thing there that, you know, doesn't really, you don't really need to have any sort of a degree to draw those lines. Little disturbing. And it's disturbing more for the fact that nobody's talking about it except for this one crazy dude with an internet radio show. Now into some human nature news from Freedom Brigade Commander. The crowd applauded when black hooded police, now this is in Haiti, okay, and this is why, you know, once again, you have to have a certain amount of morality involved, otherwise, you don't ever confuse, because when people, they like to think that anarchy would work, but you need to have some moral governing body, otherwise you wind up with warlord states, and that's what's going on down in Haiti. That is human nature. And we have to use ideals in order to overcome the basic human nature of savagery. To enforce this, we're going to be talking about a soccer match where the crowd applauded when camouflage and black-hooded police officers entered a packed soccer match in the hillside slum of Martissat on Saturday afternoon a week ago. They assume the officers were there to provide security. Suddenly, the officers ordered 6,000 spectators to the ground of the walled dirt field. Gunshots rang out, and people began to run for the only access. Police began firing wantonly, witnesses said, and outside, civilians armed with machetes and more police officers attacked those trying to free the chaos. This is having slight memories of Rwanda here. Some people were shot and killed by police, according to witnesses and family members. Others were hacked to pieces by machete-wielding civilians. You have to be some kind of messed up to cut somebody up with a machete. The Play for Peace soccer match, financed and sponsored by USAID, an independent agency that provides economic development and humanitarian assistance in support of U.S. foreign policy goals, was to help plan for the disarmament by steering young people away from gang violence. Instead, it became a scene of mayhem in a country rife with human rights and criminal abuses. Now, why is this? If people are essentially good, why is this happening? Well, it wouldn't be happening if people weren't essentially, on a very base level, beasts. The killing came less than a month after two other similarly grimly machete attacks also appeared to take place with complete complicity. The incidents, all in poor neighborhoods of the Port-au-Prince, considered bastions of support for the exiled former president Jean-Bernard Astrid, have fueled fears in this nation with a history of such violence of state-sponsored terror before national elections in November. They came to massacre us, said Nielsi Deba, 20, showing a 3-inch stitched-together gash in his forehead and another on his hand from the machete. Everyone was on top of each other. There was nowhere to run. God saved me. This kind of shit really reveals human nature to me, okay? These were not just a select group. These were huge hordes of people. Now, anyone out there willing to, you know, who does not believe that basic human nature is one of savagery and beast needs to check out information on the Rwandan crisis. This kind of stuff happens everywhere. You look at it in Rwanda, you look at it in Haiti, and behold, oh my God, you see it in New Orleans. What a shock. And why is that? Now, the white supremacists would have you believe because it's all involving people of New Orleans who are black. I don't believe that. I believe that all people have the same basic mentality, regardless of race or creed or color. And that is that they will do whatever is necessary to make sure that they profit. And this can be applied to business. And business is getting more and more and more savage. Things are getting more and more and more shadow run. And something must be done about this. Because without it, we are going to fall into a global state of corporatically funded warlord, you know, reality. And that is not cool. And that is the gross understatement of the day. And perhaps it's time for those of us to start taking steps to make sure that this will not occur, you know, because an ounce of prevention and all that. More to follow on that later. In WebWatch News, this was sent to me from Madar, which is a very interesting story altogether. General Peter Shoemaker, the Army's chief of defense, wants military leaders to better monitor soldiers' websites and blogs for posting of sensitive information that could aid the enemy. Now, this kind of seems like a no-brainer to me. If you're going to be involved in a battle situation, you don't want to be dropping the docs on the web, especially if it's regarding troop movements. Shoemaker said some soldiers, for example, continue to post pictures depicting weapon systems vulnerabilities and tactics, techniques, and procedures. Such OPSEC, operational security violations, would needlessly place lives at risk and degrade the effectiveness of our operation, he said in a memo issued early this month, obtained by the Federation of American Scientists and posted to its website. Shoemaker said the enemy reads public information and uses it against U.S. warfighters. Kidd said the Army must do a better job in OPSEC, and he expects to see an immediate improvement. Well, this is kind of a no-brainer to me. I would think that, you know, soldiers should have the common sense to not post sensitive information about troop movements. Shoemaker said the Army's Office of the Chief Information Officers, G6, will help with help from the service officers and deputy chiefs of staff for intelligence, G2, will track and report OPSEC violations of every 3 months. He said the service is also preparing more OPSEC training. Now, this is very cool in that the Army just didn't go, fuck it, you're not allowed to have blocks, because the Army could do that because they're the Army. What they're saying is they're trying to let their soldiers keep the ability to post, to keep a journal, because it's very, very therapeutic. It provides support. People, you know, are there to help the soldiers and whatnot. So it's a very, very good thing to have them do this. And I kind of agree with this memo. Shoemaker attached a memo issued Friday by General Richard Cody, Army Vice Chief of Staff, to service leaders about the importance of guarding information that the enemy is a pro in exploiting OPSEC vulnerabilities. Well, of course they are, because the enemy, well, doesn't have the technology and the warfighting capability the U.S. does, so they have to pick up the slack in other ways. The enemy is actively searching the unclassified networks for information, especially sensitive photos, in order to obtain targeting data, weapon system vulnerabilities, and TTPs, Cody said, which is a no-brainer. So, you know, especially anyone who's in the service or knows people in the service, we should probably start policing our own on stuff like this. You should be looking at people. If you see something that is, you know, kind of would interfere with operational security, you should drop them a note and say, dude, you need to take that down. That's dangerous intel to have floating around out there. And everybody knows the kind of stuff that I'm talking about here. Today's daily hack is how to survive an unplanned free fall, thanks to Pam Media. And I find that this is a wonderful metaphor in which you can survive any kind of free fall, whether it be kind of a metaphorical free fall or an actual real life free fall. Wisdom can be, you know, kind of cross genre there. And as well, BlackViper.com has a wonderful list on how to do a Windows XP configuration to get rid of some of the bloatware. Very, very simple to do. Very, very cool. And it is, it's not just one sort of variant. It gives you a couple options about how to chop down Windows XP to make things run a lot smoother. I'll be doing this myself. Thank you very much. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 59 subscribers. Nobody new showed up this month, and there were 7 people who donated this month. So altogether, what is that? We're down to 66 people supporting the show. Now, a lot of people, like Sim, when Sim told me that, he was worried. And I personally, I'm not too concerned about this, because we did sell a lot of books and stuff like that. But, you know, I personally believe that, I believe in the logs. I know that sometimes it's going to go up and down, and these kind of things happen. So if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please do visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because every little bit really does help. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, including any feedback you may have or opinions about the show, good or bad. You know, keep it short. Don't, if I don't like your opinion, I'm not going to air it. That's one of the perks of it being my show. But if you want to get in touch with me, you can get me at Newsreel. That's NEWSREAL at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Velvet Acid Christ called Pestilence. I'm going to leave you now with a track by Velvet Acid Christ called Fun With Drugs. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Oh, God. Did you eat all this acid?
That's right.
Music! Down.
This is not a good town for psychedelic drugs. Extremely menacing vibrations are all around us.
One of the things you learn after years of dealing with drug people is that you can turn your back on a person, but never turn your back on a drug, especially when it's waving a razor-sharp hunting knife in your eye.